You don't look like Iron Man.
No, me either. I don't think I'm like that.
At a Capitol Hill hearing in 2009, a Senate Environment and Public Works Committee chairwoman was having a very terse exchange with the Brigadier General over why the levees in New Orleans weren't repaired yet. He began his reply by saying, "Ma'am," and she interrupted him by saying, "Could you say Senator instead of ma'am? It's just a thing. I worked so hard to get that title. I appreciate it. Thank you." It was all right for the chairwoman not to address the general by his title, but the general had better address the chairwoman by her title. A New Orleans council member was running late for a meeting. Council member turned on the flashing lights in the SUV as she drove. It was estimated that she was driving at 100 miles per hour while racing down Interstate 10. When the state trooper stopped her vehicle, she asked him, "Do you know who I am? What the H-E double hockey sticks are you stopping me for?" She continued to explain that she had a badge and that she had the authority to do what she wanted. In 2011, an 18-year veteran of the Baltimore Police Force was out celebrating his 38th birthday when he became involved in an altercation with another guy over a parking spot. The other guy picked up a chunk of concrete and hit the cop in the head with it. He died later at a local hospital. The other guy was charged with first-degree murder. One celebrity said the following: "My greatest pain in life is that I will never be able to see myself perform live." Wow. Quote, "A war leader is what I am against my own will. If I apply my mind to military problems, that's because for the moment, I know that nobody would succeed better at this than I can." In the same way, I don't interfere in the activity of my colleagues when I have the feeling that they are performing their task as well as I could perform it myself. End quote.
I think that's a lot of pride coming through.
The Bible describes it as haughty and elevated. The dictionary describes it as inordinate self-esteem, disdainful behavior, showing scorn for inferiors, ostentatious display, conceit. It is known as arrogance, implying a claiming of oneself of more consideration than is warranted. Hubris and insolent are other synonyms for the word pride, as it was just mentioned. The word pride is mentioned 49 times in Scripture, only 3 times in the New Testament. The Hebrew words are gaon and zadon, pertaining to arrogance and insolence, gova, haughtiness, geva, a lifting up, shaketz, to strut. And it always refers to animals. And yet some people act like animals. Rokez, referring to plots and snares. Zood, proud and presumptuous, meaning one oversteps his boundaries willfully taking liberties that they should not take just because they can. In the Greek language, the word for pride is hyperphania, implying insolence, to foul, to be puffed up and rendered foolish, and alazonia, an empty assurance in which a person trusts in his own power and resources and shamefully despises and violates divine laws and human rights. They're the ones that you can call impious. In Psalm 10, the psalmist had something to say about those who were prideful. If you would turn to Psalm 10, please. Psalm 10. All right. Need a moment to turn. Psalm 10. I lollygag for time. Psalm 10. So I see the pages turning. Psalm 10. It's the psalm after Psalm 9 and before Psalm 11. Psalm 10. Beginning at verse 1. Psalm 10 verse 1 reads, "Why standest thou afar off, O Eternal? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined." The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Why does the wicked persecute the poor in their pride? Because they see the poor as being inferior to them. They see themselves as being in a greater position. Verse 3, "For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blessed the covetous, whom the Eternal have abhorred." Covetous, those who lust after and desire things that do not belong to them. Verse 4, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts." Why not? Because in a wicked person's mind, they don't need God. And that is the essence of pride, isn't it? They don't need God. "I did it," they say. "It is my accomplishments, my achievements." They might as well say, "It's my air. It's my clouds. I caused the sun to come out. I parted the Red Sea." The book of Proverbs deals with the subject of pride and hubris as well. In Proverbs chapter 11, if you would turn there, please. The chapter opens up with the subject of false balances being an abomination. Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11. All right. Beginning at verse 2. It reads, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom." When pride cometh, then comes shame. But with the lowly or the humble is wisdom. Individuals in the Bible who come to mind are Miriam, who questioned Moses' authority. The Assyrian king, who we read in previous weeks, Sennacherib, who wouldn't acknowledge God and relegated him to a mere idol, also comes to mind. Saul, before he became Paul, persecuted the church, taking liberties that he later realized he should not have taken. This verse can also be applied to another person who was one of the central figures of the book of Daniel. If you would, please turn to Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. Give you the highlights. In this chapter, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream about a tree which grew very high. Tree fed everyone who had need of it. Then he saw in his dream that an angel came down from heaven and gave orders to have that tree cut all the way down to the stump, including the branches. All fruit was to be removed. Then a decree was made to switch this individual's mind from that of a human, that of a beast. And through the Almighty, Daniel was able to interpret that dream. We will begin at verse 30, as Nebuchadnezzar represented the tree that would be cut down. Daniel chapter 4, verse 30, it reads, "The king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" The advice that Daniel gave Nebuchadnezzar in previous visions didn't seem to sink in to Nebuchadnezzar's head. The image of the head of gold, chest and arms of silver, belly, thigh of brass, legs of iron, feet part iron, part clay, and the stone that smashed the whole thing on his toes. Daniel was trying to show Nebuchadnezzar that the kingdom of God would rule and that he, God Almighty, is to be given the glory, not Nebuchadnezzar. But it didn't seem to sink in. Verse 31, "While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomsoever he will." The same hour, verse 33, was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. Nebuchadnezzar's pride was followed by his shame, according to Proverbs 11 and verse 2. Please turn to Proverbs chapter 13, please. Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13. This chapter deals with the importance of guarding your tongue and the importance of being advised by wise counsel. Proverbs chapter 13, we will read verse 10. Proverbs 13, verse 10. It reads, "Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. By pride only cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom." Contention and strife occurs because of pride. Let's look at Luke chapter 22, 22nd chapter of Luke, where Jesus had just revealed the new symbols of the Passover to his disciples. Luke chapter 22. All right. We'll begin at verse 24. Luke chapter 22, verse 24. All right. And it reads in verse 24, "And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest." Who it is that should be in first position? That's what they were arguing about. Verse 25, "And he said unto them," Jesus did, "the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors, meaning that they are given titles of honor for providing a service to their country by simply ruling over them. They exercise lordship. That's how they establish their greatness, by ruling over them. Verse 26, but you shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doeth serve. Chief, prince, leader. Jesus is saying that if you want to be in charge, then you and I ought to serve. If everyone's serving, then there's no room for pride, there's no room for contention, because everybody's doing God's will. Pride results from one's desire to appear superior to another. And verse 27 to close out, it says, for whether is greater, he that sits at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. So Jesus here is giving the importance of serving, because if your mind's on serving and ministering to others, then there's no room for the desire to be in charge. In Ezekiel chapter 16, the prophet identified Judah's abominations and compares Judah to her sisters. Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16, beginning at verse 49. Ezekiel chapter 16, beginning at verse 49. It reads, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. The prophet's talking to Judah. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Sodom's pride came from its wealth, which generated in their minds security and superiority. To them, the poor and needy were inferior. They were beneath the leadership. Continuing at verse 50, it goes on to say, and they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good. They showed no regard for God's laws, including lying with mankind as with womankind. Therefore, God removed them. Skipping to verse 55. Verse 55. He says, when thy sisters, Sodom and her daughters, shall return to their former estate, and Samaria and her daughters shall return to their former estate, then thou or you and your daughters shall return to your former estate, indicating that Sodom will be resurrected and restored in the day of judgment. And verse 56, for thy sister Sodom was not mentioned by your mouth in the day of your pride. This means that Judah did not heed the warning of the destruction of Sodom. They did not learn the lesson from Sodom, the story. They did not teach their children about it as the centuries passed. Over time, Judah forgot. Forgetfulness, willful forgetfulness, is an attribute of pride. Willful forgetfulness is an attribute of pride. The pride of Ephraim was the trust that they placed in their idols and the belief that they did not need God. And as a result, the same thing happened to them. Ephraim and all of Israel were removed because Ephraim forgot. One can find pride everywhere in our society. It's in the corporate world, the desire to be the biggest and the best, just so you can say that you're the biggest and the best. They want to be the richest. They want to stand out above the others, to maintain the greatest influence for their own good. Pride. Pride can be found in our schools, where the need for superiority is taken to the nth degree. It's important that our school wins every year at everything, no matter what. A fan of one school hated the other school so much that he went on the hated school's campus and poisoned their landmark 130-year-old oak tree. The fan was 60 years old. Pride is in our entertainment. It's demonstrated in our comedy shows and movies. We have arrogant talk show hosts, and we have arrogant news anchors. I want you to think about these words. Listen to this. You probably never thought of it this way. Here we go. First one. I'm every woman. It's all in me. Anything you want done, baby, I'll do it naturally. Oh, oh, oh. I'll keep it coming. The next one, most of you never heard this, goes like this. Never wear no Levi's. Battle me, why try? I'll treat you like a stepchild. So tell mommy, bye-bye. Slaughtering MCs, and I will never get whipped. When I retire, I'll get worshipped like an old battleship. The third one, I have to read this one. I know you can't get enough of this. This is the last one. It goes, trash the hotel. Let's get drunk on the minibar. Make the phone call. Feel so good getting what I want. Yeah. Keep on turning it up. Chandelier swinging. We don't give a. Film star. Yeah, I'm deluxe. Classic. Expensive. You don't get to touch. Ow. They'll be singing that one next month in the Grammys, see. Those are lyrics from popular songs in their heyday and in the present day that went platinum and multi-platinum, meaning that they sold millions of albums and millions and multi-millions of CDs. The point is that our music is full of hubris and arrogance, especially rap music, where everyone's trying to out-rhyme and out-cuss and out-perform others to get ahead. Some of them intentionally get arrested so that, and go to jail so that they can get what is called street cred, okay, in order to boost their record sales or CD sales. The same music that is pumped into the ears of our society. Now, I was going to say children, but it is not children anymore. There's a lot of adults. You'd be surprised. Listen to this, including members of our administration. Our jails are full of prideful, arrogant people. They proudly take what's not theirs, whether they're extorting, mugging, raping, or stealing. In Isaiah chapter 14, the king of Babylon is portrayed as a type of Satan, or Lucifer, the antitype. We'll not read the whole chapter of 14, but I just wanted to read a couple of verses. If you would turn to Isaiah 14, please. Isaiah 14. We will begin at verse 10, taking up in the middle of the thought. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 10. It reads, "All they shall speak and say unto thee, Art thou also become weak as we?" Talking to this king of Babylon. "Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials. The worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee." The vials, referring to the musical instruments. Verse 12, it says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken or subdue the nations?" I want to read this because in verse 11, the Hebrew word for pomp is gaon, the same word for pride and swelling. And because of pride, Satan will be defeated. In Proverbs chapter 16, the result of pride is noted. Please turn to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 16. We'll begin there. Proverbs 16 and verse 16. It reads, "How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. He that keepeth or guardeth his way," and you guard your way by rightfully applying God's principles and repenting when you fall short. Verse 18, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Pride results in destruction. Man is simply not God. He is fallible and is to be totally dependent on God for sustenance. In the 101st Psalm, if you would turn there, Psalm 101, the king expressed how his desire was toward God. Psalm 101. Beginning at verse 3, Psalm 101, verse 3. It reads, "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me." This is a Psalm of David. "A froward heart," verse 4, "a perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person." And the reminder is to us who we should keep company with and who we shouldn't. Verse 5, "Whoso privily or privately slanders his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer." A proud look is one of the seven things God hates, according to Proverbs 6, verse 17. Key words and phrases when determining if one is prideful. They always seem to use the term "I," "my," "mine," "I'm," "you're nothing but a," "I'm better than." It's willfully taking credit for successes and accomplishments that rightfully and ultimately belongs to God. Please turn to Psalm 47. Psalm 47. Psalm 47. Beginning at verse 1, it reads. It reads, "Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Eternal Most High is terrible, awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved." Selah. I mentioned that one of the Hebrew words for pride was gaon, meaning arrogance. The same Hebrew word was used in verse 4 just now. Here it means excellency. Excellency. In Psalm 93, if you would turn there. Psalm 93. Psalm 93. In that psalm, the psalmist acknowledges the rulership of God. Psalm 93. And it reads, again, "The Eternal reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Eternal is clothed with strength, wherewith he had girded himself. The world also established that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Eternal. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Eternal on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Eternal, forever." Majesty in this verse. Gaon. Gaon. Excellency and majesty. And in the fifth chapter of Micah, please turn there. In this chapter, the prophet delivers a message regarding the city of Bethlehem. Micah chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. It reads, "Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek." Here the judge of Israel is believed to be Zedekiah, who witnessed the slaying of his sons and whose own eyes were removed by Nebuchadnezzar. And here this judge serves as a type of Jesus Christ, who would also be smitten during the days of the Roman Empire before he yielded his life. Verse 2, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." Here, Bethlehem was prophesied to be the place, or be the birthplace rather, of our Lord and Savior, whose goings are from everlasting, who came from eternity. Verse 3, "Therefore will he give them up," meaning give up the Jews to trouble and distress while under Babylon, Greece, and Persia, and Rome. "Therefore will he give them up," verse 3, "until the time that she which travaileth had brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel," meaning that one day all 12 tribes of Israel will be united, and the Almighty God, Jesus Christ, the Godhead, will rule over them together. And verse 4, and he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Eternal, in the majesty of the name of the Eternal his God, and they shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. Again, here the word majesty as applied to Jesus Christ is Gaion. When this word is used, as I've previously stated, Gaion is the Hebrew word, and the point is this: to ascribe such a word, which implies loftiness and elevation, to man, that's pride. When the same word is applied to God, notice, it's not pride. It's rightfully applied. It's majesty, excellency, and glorious, because God is worthy of it. We like to say he paid the cost to be the boss. And in fact, God is that and more. Some people are too prideful to admit their own ignorance. Some are too arrogant to recognize their own limitations. Some cannot admit when they're wrong. They have to be right all the time. Don't let this be descriptions of us. Acknowledge the Eternal in all your ways, and he will direct your paths. The title of this message is Pride and Glory.